All right, you're at the incomparable God or the incomparable God, whatever you want to say that, however you want to say that. I think you can say both of them. The lecture will be a little bit different. I'm going to do a... You really need your Bibles on this one, okay? At a biblical counseling conference. So we are going to be doing all kinds of going across Scripture a little bit here, dealing in Isaiah. And my ultimate goal in this one is to... By the end of the time, I really want you to understand the context of Isaiah 40 through 48, and in particular, understand how to use Isaiah 40, 12 through 31, to help your counselees dealing with the issue of idolatry. Now, this lecture, I think, may have been in your notes as like Idols at Heart 4 or something like that. Maybe not. The Incomparable God, that's what it is. But this has been a sequence and a development of my understanding of issues of the hearts, okay, starting with the heart of change and then developing into other things. And as I'm studying more in the Old Testament, I'm seeing how much this is present in the Old Testament. And one of my key features that I'll probably be dealing with in my dissertation is something in Isaiah when I ultimately end up getting a PhD in 2010 on the Old Testament. So long studies, but I'm enjoying the Old Testament. I love the Hebrew. And so this might be a little different. I'm not just going to simply lecture and give you point by points as far as, here's step one, here's step two. I want you to understand the text, okay, and the context of Isaiah. So it's a little different lecture. Are you ready for a different lecture? Okay, and we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures here. So, let's get started. The root cause of all of our issues goes back to the first commandment, idolatry. And the question I want to show you here, that Isaiah 40 through 48 here is classic in a treatment of the Old Testament saints' issues with idolatry. Take a look with me, Isaiah 40. So get your Bibles ready, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. Isaiah 40 through 48 is actually like a polemic against Old Testament idolatry. And then we'll make the connection with our idolatry in just a moment. But look at these kinds of passages. Isaiah 40, 18. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is to improvise for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot, and he seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Like, how do you like that? Preparing a god that won't totter. Wow. That's what I want in my God. He's not going to totter. I originally heard, my original interest in Isaiah 40 came from when I listened to a sermon by James McDonald's, Gripped by the Greatness of God. Some great stuff there. And as I started studying this, I got more in depth, and he treated that. So that is what you're hearing ultimately is going to be some of the fruits of the study. Turn over to Isaiah 41, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 41, verses 5 through 7. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. And they're afraid of basically Cyrus the Persian. At this point in time, historical context is sweeping across Babylon. The old political entity of Babylon is being basically wiped out. Cyrus the Persian is coming. So, the coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and have come. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, "Be strong." So the craftsman encourages the smelter, and he who smooths metal with the hammer encourages him who beats the anvil, saying, "The soldering of my God, look, it's good." And he fastens his God with nails so that it will not totter. Do you think that Isaiah has like a sarcastic spirit in him? It gets a little bit worse. So look at Isaiah 41:21. Okay, this is not the sarcastic one at this point. But he does say this: "Present your case," Isaiah 41:21. The Lord says, "Bring forward your strong arguments," the King of Jacob says. "Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Let's tremble when you do something. that we may know that you are God's. Behold, you are of no account, and your works account to nothing, and he who chooses you is an abomination. Turn over to Isaiah 44, 9 through 20. Isaiah gets pretty sarcastic here. Those who fashion a graven image are all of them are futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all of his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Now, think about this for a second. The ultimate adversary is not the of God, is not the idol. Who is it? It's the idol maker. Okay? Those who fashion graven images. Verse 12. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working with his strong arm. And then he gets hungry and his strength fails. The idol maker, strong arm, fails, as opposed to the strong arm of God that never fails. Another shapes wood. He extends a measuring line, and he outlines it with red chalk, and he works it with planes, and outlines it with a compass, and makes it like a form of man, like the beauty of man, so that it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedar for himself. He takes a cypress and an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and the rain makes it grow. And then it becomes something for man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. And he makes a fire to bake bread. And he also makes a god and worships it out of the same piece of wood. And he makes a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it burns with fire over this half, and the other half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, "Aha! I am warm. I have seen the fire." But the rest of it he makes into a god. His graven images, as he falls down before it in worship, he also prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God," as he's eating his steak over the fire he just burned on the wood that he made his God out of. You see the parody. They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts are so that they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there any knowledge or understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in fire, and I have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and I eat it. Then I make the rest of it an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood." We do laugh at this, and I think there is parody here. But here is the issue, the foolishness of idolatry. Do you see that? This is a parody, the foolishness of idolatry. And this is what the children of Israel constantly struggled with, and this is what you and I constantly struggle with. Now, so these chapters here, Isaiah 40 through 48, are actually in part a polemic against idolatry. And as they form this polemic or argument against idolatry, they present a solution. The solution is something you know what it's going to be, but I want you to see it afresh in the Word of God with clear eyes and see what the solution is to idolatry here so that you can continue to help yourself and continue to help your counselees. And you'll see it very clearly in Isaiah. Isaiah is a fantastic book, but it is very complex. Let me tell you about the historical background. Okay, can you read with me on this? I don't like reading just a whole lot, but this time I'm going to read with you, okay? So, the context. Isaiah wrote these prophecies. I'm not reading yet, so don't look yet. I know, I didn't say. My mind is just going in a different direction. I have ADHD. Isaiah wrote these prophecies in around 722, okay, BC. That's around the destruction of the northern kingdom when Isaiah was writing, warning the southern kingdom, okay? And he was warning the southern kingdom called what? What was the southern kingdom called?
Judah.
If they do not desist and stop practicing idolatry, they're going to suffer the same fate as the northern kingdom. Okay, so Isaiah is writing these back in that time. Now, here is a historical background summary. In 586 BC,